What is going on, Sleeper Nation? We're back with another rookie episode. Of course, I'm here with the number one Australian analyst, Sheehan. Let me know how you're doing.
How you doing, man? How you doing, listeners? Yep, Sheehan here again on a bright and early on a Wednesday morning here, 1 a.m. my time. I've spent the evening putting together IKEA furniture, activity only slightly more preferable than getting a prostate exam from Wolverine, but I'm happy it's all together. And now we can talk some rookies with our special guest this week, right? Tell him who we have with us.
No. He can wait. So since you mentioned IKEA, like the whole fun of getting stuff from IKEA is the building part. After that, like I feel like it doesn't matter anymore.
From start to finish is a terrible process and I hate everything about it.
Oh God. Well, that makes two different people. But of course you mentioned a guest and we have Jake Celia from the Athletic Senior Fantasy Writer. So fun little mini story. I had no way of reaching at him, so I just kind of tweeted at him a link to the StreamYard so he can join our episode. Jake, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Did you add an A to the end of my last name? Did you say Celia?
Yeah, I decided to add an A. how do you like that?
And make it more Italian? Is that what you're trying to do?
I added a little
Jake Celia.
a little fanciness to it.
No, but I'm definitely I'm the opposite of you two. I'm on the other side of that. I will spend the extra couple $100 to not assemble my furniture.
Oh,
every single time.
Come on, guys. We need to assemble our own furniture.
I assembled this damn thing behind me and that took long enough. If it comes pre-assembled, I will buy it every single time.
Oh my God. So why I didn't follow you and then send you a DM? Well, that's because I read your little bio and then you had the hashtag band kickers. I'll give you a chance to defend yourself real fast.
I don't need a chance to defend myself. You can just read my article and look at my shirt, which I didn't even know you're going to bring that up, but it's band kickers because it's the most pointless, meaningless position in all of fantasy.
No, it
That's
is
a
not.
Simple version.
It
yeah.
Is, it's
There's
not.
Nothing you can say. There's no argument. Go read the article. There's no argument for kickers.
I have the reading of a 4-year-old. There's no chance I read an article. No. So kickers are the most important part. And I'll tell you why, because they win and lose games. For the actual NFL.
No, they don't. They don't get on the field unless the team didn't do its job.
Exactly.
If the team didn't do their job, they're irrelevant if the team is doing their job. If you want to play with kickers, then go to the lottery and go get some tickets at 7-Eleven.
No, because kickers, there's a strategy to kickers. That's why Tucker.
No, there's not.
Yes,
read the article. No, there's not.
No, there is a strategy to kickers. That's why Justin Tucker is always number one, because that offense is always good enough to get in field. He's number one. That's it. He is number one.
You can't come in with and say, like, I'm not going to read an article. Then you know what? Then that's how it doesn't work.
No,
this is the modern world we live in. You just read the headline and go, I'm not interested in that.
But I didn't know I was doing a show with Skip Bayless.
That's what we do here. That's how it is. No, I would rather have a kicker than a tight end if I had the choice.
Why don't you try and defend your standard leagues again, Nada? That was fun last week.
Hey, standard is the highest skill level ceiling type of leagues.
Let's play touchdown only. Let's go back to that.
Hey, we were just talking about that.
It's 2 weeks in a row. It's come up.
I know. Nice job. Hey, way to shout us out. Sounds like you've been listening to our episodes. Then again, who isn't?
Jason Sanders would be number one on your board for that, Nada. The only kicker to ever get a touchdown in the past 2 years, I think.
There you go.
There you go. All right. So we'll have this kicker debate later. But of course, on this episode, we did promise some IDP, but you know, the guy who wanted to come on IDP decided to absolutely leave me on red. So now we got Jake Celia on for us. And of course, on this episode, we're going to have a little bit of some rookie talk and we want to talk about some sleeper rookies. Of course, you know, over here on Sleeper Wire, we love going in depth on the sleepers and we want to make sure we go into them. So we're going to be breaking them down a little bit more. But of course, we got a little bit of some news upon us. The Jags signed tight end now, tight end Tim Tebow for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, he hasn't played in 9 years. Is this just for fun? Is this like a meme at this point, or is there actually fantasy relevant?
No, there's relevance if he's on the team at day one, but that's the question, is he on the team? The odds actually came out today. It's minus 200 for him to be on the team and plus 170 for him to not. If I'm betting that, I'm actually betting the plus 170. If you gave me even odds, then maybe I'd say yes. But look, if he's there day one, relevant, sure, but relevant in deep leagues only because if you look at back, Urban Meyer, the only tight end he's really had relevant was Aaron Hernandez way, way, way back in the day in college. So you go outside
with
of that.
With Tebow.
Yeah. So you go back to that. That's a good point that you had it the other way around there. He's 33. You know, I say kudos to Tim Tebow. Like, everybody's getting all upset. Like, oh, he might take somebody's job. If he takes somebody's job, that means he's the best tight end on the team. Like that, like, why are we hating a guy who's going to try and play a sport? You know, he tried baseball. He wasn't taking anybody's minor league squad against somebody. Like, he finally stopped playing because he wasn't good enough. So he makes the team. He makes the team. But my concern more is the fact that even if you put, I don't know. I was going to say Eric Ebron, but he's almost irrelevant at this point. I'm trying to think like a give me a mid-level tight end. I'm trying to think of somebody that
Cole Kmet.
I love Cole Kmet this year, but yeah, same. But Cole Kmet, I mean, put Cole Kmet on that team. I don't know if he's relevant just because I don't know if this offense is going to make the tight end relevant, very much like the Panthers.
Would you rather have Jimmy Graham or now Tim Tebow?
No, I would just go for the upside of Tim Tebow in the case that like he shocks the world.
See, this is why I'd rather have kickers than tight ends because, I mean, it's just a coin. It is a lottery too with tight ends. It's who gets a touchdown. Other than that, you're hoping for like 30
then,
yards.
Then don't even set your lineup. Just randomly pick players. Just pick a randomizer and put it out there if you love randomness that much.
No, there's just no randomness. All right. You know, all right. We're not going to get into that too much. You know, I already had my blood pressure rise. The Colts have assigned Pro Bowl left tackle Eric Fisher. I mean, he's coming off of a major injury. I mean, is he even a starter or is he even going to start in the beginning of the year?
He might not, but he's an upgrade on what they had there before. He's, you know, he's probably not lived up to his draft position. He's number one overall. He's a solid tackle in a league without them.
Yeah. I don't think there's any downside to this. I think he could be opening day one starter, but if you look at it too, this keeps Nelson from moving and I don't even know who the left tackle was supposed to be before this. That was the question before this. So I think it's only a good thing. You know, maybe it's not ready. Maybe he's not 100% for week one, but Fisher at this point in his career, even as the fact he didn't live up to the number one pick, as you said, he's still better than most. He's still one of the, I'd say what, top 10? So like, what if he's not 100%? He's still above average.
Yeah. I mean, we saw what happened to the Chiefs line in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, Fisher's not going to be, he's not Anthony Munoz, but he's going to stop Carson Wentz from ending up on the ground. He's going to block for Jonathan Taylor. He's probably going to do it at a better level than the replacements that are out there. That's why the Colts brought him in. They had money to spend.
Now, how does this affect values, right? I mean, Carson Wentz, obviously that helps him out, but what about somebody more important like Jonathan Taylor? Are you really thinking about this when picking him?
No, and I'm glad you said that because I've been on, I don't know if you guys follow Ian Harditz from PFF and PFF, right? Yeah. He and I since the draft about this Najee Harris nonsense is the fact that offensive lines matter, but they're more of a tie break and a nugget of information than anything. We've been both of us, Ian and I have been tweeting about the fact that if you look at the bottom five teams, in whatever metric you want to choose, run blocking, yards before contact, the football outsiders, adjusted line yard, like all these top five and bottom five, you have people on opposite ends of the spectrum. You have top 10 running backs on a bottom five team, and you have RB25s and 30s on top five teams because volume is what we want. Volume for talented players, obviously, but volume is what you want. Najee Harris is going to be fine. Jonathan Taylor is going to be fine. They're both going to be RB1s. Jonathan Taylor is going to be a top 10 lock. This, you know, obviously helps in any concern, but it's not the only thing that you can say is like, all right, if you're trying to decide, let's take Najee Harris and Jonathan Taylor since we're talking about it. If you're saying Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris this year, and you switch their teams and put Najee Harris on the Colts and you put Jonathan Taylor on the Steelers, then maybe you say, you know what? I could see taking Harris over Taylor. But that's what you're talking about. You're talking about two guys that are already super close to begin with, and that's your tie break. It's not – you're not moving Najee Harris down to the range of Kenyon Drake, who's a backup, just because of the offensive line.
I'd actually prefer Jonathan Taylor because the Colts are in a weaker division. That would be my tiebreaker as of right now.
It's just another part of it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, that is another debate for another time. But, I mean, Jonathan Taylor is an RB1, or is he sliding in the RB2 slot?
No, he's top 7 running back.
Now,
off the top of my head, maybe 8 at worst.
Now, there's, what, 4 running backs signed on the depth chart for the Colts as of right now? I mean, there's a lot of work.
One of them's coming over a blown-out knee. Marlon Mack is not a factor.
But there's still another 2 more RBs. I don't know if there was too many free
agents. Wilkins is trash.
Okay.
Naeem Hines is a pass catcher. And we saw what Naeem Hines and Jonathan Taylor did last year, and Jonathan Taylor was a top 10 running back when he finally took over.
So does that say Jonathan Taylor is an elite RB, or is this a signal of that there isn't enough running backs or RB one?
Jonathan Taylor was already an elite running back to begin with. He got too much disrespect coming out of college to begin with, because everybody had this assumption about Wisconsin and Big Ten running backs that they're not complete players.
All right, now Sheehan, I'm gonna give the floor to you.
Yes, well, we're moving on. We're moving on from kickers. We're moving on from offensive lines. I'm gonna ask you both a question. And, you know, this will be harder for you, Jake, and probably hard for you as well, Natta. Who is my favorite figure peripheral to the NFL?
What? He said what?
You use words like less than like three syllables. Maybe he'll understand.
Well, I could use tangential. It means the basically the same thing, but you're not going to get any closer. I'll tell you, you're not going to get it. It's the big guy who runs the NFL Hall of Fame, David Baker. I'm in awe of the size of the man. He is enormous. He dwarfs huge units. You look at photos of him next to Joe Namath. He's like 6'8". He is the size of the Hall of Fame himself. And in Canton, Ohio, not only can you potentially meet David Baker, my favorite peripheral member of the NFL family, you can join us for draft night out on the 14th of August later this year at 4 p.m. Come along, get your $30 ticket and join us for a live draft. Get yourself an exclusive t-shirt. I'm not sure it's going to be a no kickers t-shirt, but if it's a pro kickers t-shirt, Natta will be there to sign it for you. Oh, and there's a chance to win signed memorabilia from people who aren't Natta, which is even more exciting. So head on over to draftnightout.com for more info. Get your ticket and join us there. It's the day before the Fantasy Football Expo, as I said. So if you're in town for that, if you're in town just to hang out with the big man himself, David Baker, come along and have some fun.
I was actually trying to find his size.
I Googled him.
He's enormous.
I know like he is. I remember seeing him, but
shows up halfway through a broadcast and all of a sudden he's like hugging Nate Burleson, half of the broadcast.
He's 400 pounds. Wow.
That's a big guy.
Absolutely.
So the height was what I was trying to look for. He's got to be at least 6'6", right?
Yeah, he's huge. He's like, I reckon he would dwarf just about every offensive line. In fact, here's a question for you. If he was an offensive lineman, would that bump a running back up your rankings? Anyway.
he might not be able to move a shifty. Yeah, he might be
he's 6'9", 400 pounds.
He might be like a Trent Brown type of guy, you know, phenomenal pass blocker because he just anchors there. I don't know about the run blocking though.
Well, absolutely. I think that's fantastic. I think he might have even played a bit of offensive line in college given that size. But that's Draft Night Out, and that's brought to you by us at Sleeperwire. Us at Sleeperwire, our good friends at Eat Sleep Fantasy, our friends at Draft Party USA, and of course, Prestige Sports Memorabilia, not affiliated with Prestige Worldwide, or David Baker from the NFL Hall of Fame. What are we doing with these rookies?
Disappointment. All right. So challenge flag rookie breakdown. That's what we're calling it. That's what Sheehan called it. I'm just naming it and taking credit if it hits. And if nobody likes it, then it's Sheehan's idea. But basically we're going to be talking about some rookie skill positions, and mostly we want to hit on the sleepers here, the low guys, the underrateds, the underdogs, the chip on the shoulder type of guys. And if one of these two here, Sheehan or Jake, decide to say, hey, I'm going to talk about a bigger name, more important guy, a, you know, blue collared first round draft pick wide receiver, I'm going to throw that challenge flag. I'm going to say, hey, no, shut up. Pick another guy. Sound fair, guys?
Sounds fair.
Unless you want to talk about a kicker. You want to talk about a kicker, Ash? I'll give you the floor. Other than that, all right.
The one that went in the draft. With the dumb Bengals, that's what you get. Watch him bomb. Like Robert Agu would do Boo Bubble, who's not even in the NFL anymore.
Never just Roberto Aguayo.
He's on the Patriots at the moment.
At the moment.
How do you feel about that? I bet you feel pretty stupid.
Because he's not going to make the team, just like the Patriots kicker they took last year.
Oh, yeah. The racist guy. Fun time.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe edit that bit out, please, Roz, whoever's editing this one.
We're specifically keeping this one in. I like that. Yeah. I like that. So,
where I called Justin Rohrwasser a racist.
No, that's fair. Jake, I'll give you the floor. Name your guy.
How far are we going down? That's my first question.
If I have to Google his name,
you're supposed to be running through the names.
No, we picked the name. I listened to the instructions. He said if we go too shallow, he's going to throw the challenge flag. I heard the instructions.
Sounds like you weren't listening, Sheehan. I specifically said the instructions.
I'll go super deep because I'm just going to go to my guy who got undrafted.
Okay, here, let's say it.
Javion Hawkins, no question about it. I am a big Javion Hawkins fan. I was actually surprised he was undrafted. Actually, not a surprise after I watched how the draft was falling, because the running backs just fell in general, and a lot of them ended up in timeshares and terrible situations, just buried. But Hawkins, you saw, already came out today, coaching staff said that they think Mike Davis is a good pass catcher. Allison, they've done some research on him, which they didn't say anything promising about him. But what they said about Hawkins, they said he brings speed to the room that needed room. Speed. Actually, speed to the, whatever it was, something like that.
Nice job.
Yeah, the point being is, I'll say the same thing about Hawkins I said pre-draft, and I'll say now. He can be Tariq Cohen. He can be Nyheim Hines. He can be back in the day Theo Riddick. That's who he is. And if you're looking at this team, they need that complimentary piece. Allison can still be on this team as the power guy, but they need that speed pass catching option. And if you're telling me, looking at this team, what that compliment to Mike Davis means, you could walk into, I mean, look at last year. Russell Gage had 110 targets. Yeah, I know Julio Jones missed 7 games, ? But, you know, there's targets to be had in this backfield for this offense, and Javian Hawkins could easily be an RB3. He could be this year's JD McKissick.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. I love Hawkins. He jumped out off the screen to me when I was watching Tutu Atwell tape, broke off a big touchdown. I thought, who the hell's this guy? Like, I was like you, I was surprised to see him to go undrafted. I think I wrote in my article last week that he seems like the sort of guy who might end up with 10 for 60 and one on the day with a 50-yard touchdown. But, you know, the points all count the same. He's not costing you anything at the moment.
Not even anything at all. And if you notice the two, the coaching staff didn't mention, a lot of people are like, ooh, don't forget Caleb Huntley too. Well, he didn't even mention Caleb Huntley.
Yeah, that guy's slow.
You know, maybe like he's just trying to hype up. That's terrible. Hey, don't diss Kyle Juszczyk's like that. He's an elite fullback. Deserves to be in a league of his own. All right, so somebody like Javian Hawkins, is Tariq Cohen his ceiling?
Yeah, but Tariq Cohen's top 30 running back in half and full point PPR.
Yeah.
This year or last year, or is he estimated to be that this year?
He missed last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I don't know. That's not exciting. Tariq Cohen. You had me on, oh, he has speed. Coach is talking about him. And then he said Tariq Cohen, and I went,
How is it that not exciting? Top 30 running back, you're starting in every single league.
Well, you got to remember, Natta plays standards, so yeah. He's not about those PPR and half PPR points. I think that's an excellent comp. Hawkins is a really good player. I want him on my team. I've picked him up. He's gone undrafted in a couple of drafts I've been in. Absolutely love him. You know, we talked about him last week, Natta, and I said that the Falcons is a perfect landing spot, but any other team, he'd probably be their returner as well. Only the virtue that Cordarrelle Patterson is there. You're not going to get points from him potentially running one back during the season as well.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
Well, you guys are insulting my PPR and my standard. Usually when I draft or I consider a player, usually I'm not accounting the PPR points. I usually treat it as like a cherry on type thing. But anyway, all right, I like that pick. That's a good one. I see potential. I like Mike Davis, and I'll be hunting for him in a lot of redraft leagues and such like that. But Jadeveon Hawkins is definitely a little stash pick I like to see. So in a dynasty rookie draft, he's going undrafted, or is he being taken?
If it's a rookie only, yeah, might be undrafted, but probably fifth, sixth round if you're going to go that far.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay. Depends on
how far you go in your rookie draft.
Would you rather have Javian Hawkins, his name is a little weird, or a Niners RB that they recently drafted since they took two of them?
Well, I mean, I was skipping past Trey Sermon because he felt a little high, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would take Trey Sermon 10 times out of 10 over him. And again, I'm a Hawkins guy. I took Trey Sermon at late second round in a recent rookie only draft because if you're looking at that backfield right now, he's the most talented one. He's not right now the one, because we know that's Mostert, but Mostert has injury problems. And even if he wasn't the most talented one, what happened? He went to the 49ers. You know what the thing about Kyle Shanahan is?
Tell me.
Do you know the story about Midas's touch and turning everything into gold? That is Shanahan with running backs. He could make me a good running back. See, he made Jeff Wilson a thing. So you put Trey Sermon. If Elijah Mitchell ends up touching the ball 50% of the time, he'll be an RB1. That's what Shanahan does. But yes, Trey Sermon, I think, is going to, I have Trey Sermon not too far from Javonte Williams in the fact that both of them could be the starters by midseason.
Now that one I would say is believable, but we'll not stay on him for too long. There's a lot of RBs talk or wide receiver talk also to go with.
Yeah, she didn't even get to go yet.
I know. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. I'm happy to just chip in. Elijah Mitchell was a guy on my radar as well that just for the sheer value, he is in San Francisco. He's going to be cheaper than Trey Sermon. And, they're not afraid to give the best guy the ball. We talked about it last week with Seattle, and what they might do. I think it was Josh Johnson we talked about. If he's the best guy in camp, he'll get the ball. It's going to be the same for Mitchell. And, you know, if Sermon slips to the back end of the second, snap him up every day. But Mitchell's another guy back end of the third, back end of the fourth. He's on the board. That's where you throw your dart, I think. We talked about Hawkins, another, UDFA running back. Be interested in getting your thoughts in, Jake. Jarrett Patterson, cause I've been on the clock a few times and, I've basically split my shares between Patterson and Hawkins. Patterson's at Washington. And I think they could use a classic between the tackles runner that he is. He hasn't got the long speed. But I think he'd be a nice pair with Antonio Gibson there.
Yeah. The problem with Patterson is I was lower than most on him. I had him in the same range as Elijah Mitchell. Like I had Hawkins. So my tier pre-draft, my tier of guys in this group are Kylan Hill, Jamar Jefferson, Hawkins, Elijah Mitchell, Patterson, and Puka Williams, who I think people forgot about the fact that Herbert had to leave Kansas because of Puka Williams. So, I think he's intriguing too as another pass catching option. If he sticks, he's going to be interesting to watch, but you know, Patterson's fine between the tackles. You mentioned it. That's what he was. He's between the tackles. He's a lesser version of, Ramondre Stevenson kind of.
Yep.
So if that's what you're looking for, sure. But I don't see where the touches come unless somebody gets hurt.
Yep. No, I think that's a fair assessment.
He's a non-PPR guy. What happened? He leaves with a non-PPR guy.
I might have accidentally hit the back button. My bad.
That's all right. I figured you were just tired of our UDFA.
He kind of reminds me a little bit like Jordan Howard. My opinion, and a lot of running backs like that. The reason I'm just kind of down on them is kind of something we touched on a little bit earlier is I'm going to go for the home run running back versus I can find 20 running backs who do what Jordan Howard does. Like I can find plenty of running backs who do what Patterson does. Maybe he surprises and maybe I'm discounting him. I'm not going to say I'm 100% right. That's why, like, honestly, and I brought up Stevenson's name. There you go. You're going to love him for non-PPR. That's their new LeGarrette Blunt. Sonny Michel might not be on this team. If you want somebody that's just going to go out there and run for 60 yards every single week and potentially get a touchdown every single week, that's Stevenson.
LeGarrette Blunt is my favorite. He is exactly what I look for an RB. You know, when I would start him, I knew I was getting 1 yard and 2 touchdowns.
Are you secretly not, like 60 years old?
Why don't fullbacks matter anymore?
Yeah. Hey, Mike Alstott was the best.
Hey, you heard me talking about Kyle Juszczyk, so I mean, maybe.
I brought up Alstott.
I know, there you go. Hey, I'm looking pretty good for 60, if that's the case.
You're the guy that's like doing backflips when Jerome Bettis goes 3 yards for 3 rushing touchdowns.
Hey, fantasy wise, that's 18.3 points. Hey, I call that a good day in my book. There we go. All right. Enough running backs. Give me a wide receiver.
You want to go first this time? I keep going first. You go first.
No, after you. Guess first.
I always go first. Go
ahead. You know what? I'm going to continue with the theme. I'm going to go way off the radar here. Super off the radar. This is if you want to plan for 3 years from now. So, okay. And then you're going to love this, Nader, because it's another name that you're going to have fun with here. It's Josh Emmitore-Beebe. MRTBB went to Jacksonville. I was hoping he would get drafted. I understand why he didn't, but if you watch at Illinois and you watch the fact that people knew he was the only offensive weapon on that team and playing with subpar quarterback play, missed a little bit of time because that was one of the schools that didn't play a full season and a little bit of injury mixed in there. But you're talking about somebody who puts up touchdowns on like 20% of his catches. This dude outleaps, out muscles, out attacks everybody. He's in a bad situation for immediate impact, but he's somebody that can stick. Again, I know undrafted free agents don't always, and it takes a few years for it to happen, but just keep that name. If you're in dynasty leagues, just if you're in the sixth round, your final pick, nobody else is taking MRTBB. Go out there and take MRTBB.
You know how hard it was to Google his name? Cause like, I'm like, how do you spell it? How do you spell it? I was trying to spell it out.
Emmitore-Beebe.
I figured it out eventually, but you know, I put Josh Jaguars and then had kept getting Josh Allen to defensive end. And then there's actually a Josh Hammock who's also a wide receiver. And then all of a sudden, you get a Josh.
I can go much higher. But that's, I wanted to do the undrafted guy first.
So what makes him so special?
I just told you, you were too busy. Like, listen to your own podcast. I just told you why. You were too busy looking up his name.
Well, see,
too busy looking up Josh Hammock. Think about Josh Hammock. Is Josh again in the hammock with you?
Ooh. Hey, I won't say no to that.
And were you not paying attention? He was the one that everybody was talking about for the entire day because he set the record for the vertical. That was the guy for that one day where everybody was talking about him and showing that clip over and over again. That was him.
So
the problem, he needs to develop in routes. He needs to become more proficient as a wide receiver. He's, again, there's not a lot of experience behind him, but again, you're talking 2 to 3 years down the road have been like, where did this kid come from? He could be the one.
Well, see, you said a name that obviously I had no idea how to spell it. And, you know, I have the attention span of a fish and I can't be the, I mean, I hope I'm the only one, but I can't be the only one. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody, while they were explaining, tried Googling his name and got distracted. I don't know. I can't be the only one, right?
I think Sheehan knew who he was.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not my favorite of the new receivers on the Jags. I quite like Jalen Camp.
Course. Yeah.
For the basically the same reason, well, similar reasons in that there's physical tools. Obviously, Imetur Bibi had the jumping out of the gym. Camp was a big, strong guy. I think he would have broken the combine record for the bench press. But watching his tape, he was a better version of Seth Williams. Like everything that I hated about Seth Williams, Jalen Camp did so much better. He's not the same red zone, you know, turns a 50-50 ball into 80-20, but he wasn't body catching or, you know, he was actually getting open, which is nice to see. And, he went probably earlier than most people thought he might. He wasn't even on sleeper when he got drafted. So that's, I guess how the fantasy community saw him, but I really like him. And that Jags wide receiver room, it's not that flash.
No, this problem is you just got two top guys in Charles and Chenault. It's going to be tough to get past or
Marvin Jones as well.
Yeah, so, for at least a year or two.
So I Googled Marvin Jones'
contract. Was it multi-year or was it 1 year? Sorry.
No,
I think it might be, it's like one of those two that's really one, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Sorry. What were you saying,
Nader? So I Googled Imetur Bibi and I'm looking at his measurables and, he looks like a Walmart version of DK Metcalf, 6'2", 220 pounds, 24 reps, 225 bench press. I mean, like he has like all the athletic measurables, but he's like Walmart version of DK Metcalf.
Everybody's a Walmart version of DK Metcalf. Like that dude's got Adonis's body. Like that's like, that's not normal.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking Walmart DK Metcalf, let me transition here. Sorry, I'm going to jump ahead. Simi Fehoko, he is Walmart.
Hold on, challenge flag.
No. Simi Fehoko. I am all over that because Michael Gallup's contract is up next year and Fehoko is very raw. Him, see, that's the thing we're talking about here. Fehoko, Imetur Bibi, and then Tamarian Terry, who went to Seattle. Ooh, these guys are raw wide receivers, which don't hit. Like, I mean, let's go back to Darrell Green Beckham. He didn't hit. You know, because he didn't succeed in the NFL because he only was raw. Oh, the one for the Giants, Ramsey's Barden. Sometimes these guys don't hit, but you know, these are the things that take the receivers need to learn and develop and route work and all that type of stuff. Marquise Lee was one who on the other side of it was so talented that he was lazy with his routes because he just beat everybody and he didn't care. He was super lazy. You take that, you know, who's very similar to like that this year is Terrace Marshall. Terrace Marshall, if you watched him at LSU, covered on like 80% of the passes because he's lazy, because he's so much better than everybody else. So these are things that can learn. I'm with you on Fehoko. But I threw that out there to sorry to jump on you, Sheehan. There's the biggest thing is, you know, these are dart throws because the potential is there. Obviously, it's kind of like Josh Allen of being a quarterback, you know, 2 out of 10 might hit.
Well, with Simi Fehoko, I was able to figure it out, by the way. So I'm going to give myself a pat on the back, but he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys and it's not like they have old receivers that are on the out.
Gallup expendable. They can't afford Gallup next year. They just paid Dak and Zeke and everybody else.
They pay their guys.
No, Gallup's not coming back. Gallup's gone. When we're doing, what is this, May 11th? Mark this podcast. Michael Gallup is not back with the Cowboys next year.
But even then, there's so many weapons on that offense. It's hard for me to imagine Simi Fehoko, out of all people, to get his, you know, his share.
Yeah, I mean, this is Dynasty. We're not looking this season necessarily. I know you're more of a redraft guy. I should say, I'm not a massive fan of Fehoko. I just think he's a discount DK Metcalf. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. The ball goes through his hands like nobody's business. Like, Davis Mills, Davis Mills would have had much better numbers and might have gone on day two if Fehoko could catch. He's, as far as developmental prospects go, you would like him to be more advanced given he's a little bit older. He's a Mormon guy. So he went and he did his mission, then went back to college. So he was bigger, older, stronger than a lot of the guys he played against, but the Cowboys have identified a need and that's for a big receiver. They drafted Fehoko. They added
Who Fehoko is?
Who's that?
He's Amari Cooper before he got Dak Prescott. Couldn't catch the ball and now he's with Dak and he's amazing. There you go.
I think that's disrespectful to Amari Cooper. I don't think Fehoko is anywhere near the receiver.
Amari Cooper couldn't catch the ball for years.
I blame Dak Prescott. I mean, not Dak Prescott. Sorry. I blame Derek Carr.
Hey, Derek Carr had, I mean, if people always forget this, Derek Carr had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree both finish as top 15 wide receivers. Everybody hates Derek Carr and forgets about that.
Derek Carr supports two wide receivers at all time, or two pass catchers, I say.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Hey, in fantasy, we love that because we don't have to figure out the third.
Exactly. I mean, last year was Darren Waller and then not John Brown, sorry. The other version that they replaced him with. Aguilar, the baby dropper.
Speaking
there
of
we
people
go.
Who can't catch.
Yes, the baby dropper. Delson Aguilar.
The problem is the reason why we're in this range for wide receivers is because there's the obvious names and then everybody else is buried. Like that's the problem is so many wide receivers got buried in this draft because we've been talking about it for three straight years that wide receivers deep. Well, now there's nowhere for these guys to go in the draft. Like the next ones you're talking about are slot options like Amari Rodgers and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And if it wasn't for the fact of where they landed for opportunity in the slot for both their teams, we wouldn't even really be talking about them. I mean, outside of it, like Tony is in a terrible situation until next year because Shepard is probably gone. Rondell Moore, probably not going to do much until at least his second year. Bateman landed with the Ravens and it's a good opportunity for volume, but that volume is not a real volume. That's like 60 targets. So there's so many terrible landing spots this year.
I think last year and the year before that set an unrealistic standard and expectation for rookie receivers. I mean, before that we were saying rookie receivers need about 2-3 years till they really come up. And now we're kind of looking for immediate impact. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is honestly, in my opinion, one of the only receivers that are going to give you immediate impact or has the highest potential for immediate impact this year.
Outside of the big names. Right.
I'd honestly even say even including the big names, like he realistically on the lines, he's the only receiver there.
No, I mean, it depends where we cut off the big names. I don't think he's going to top Chase, Waddle, Smith, but
I think he has the highest potential.
100 and something targets.
No. At least. I mean, Jared Goff is, I mean, while he kind of gets knocked off, he's basically another version of Derek Carr. He could support two receivers and he always has in his fantasy career. I think he does.
And he has three guys that St. Brown need to get past. He's still a rookie. He's still a rookie in the slot.
Terrell Williams, he's not even healthy. I don't even
Rashard Perriman and don't forget a Quintus Cephas. Everybody was excited for Cephas last year and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he doesn't matter. St. Brown as of today is not even past Cephas on the depth chart. Let's get there first.
I mean, it's been 2 weeks since the draft? I give it by, OTAs.
So, but even so, all right. So let's say he gets 110.
Okay.
Go back to my thing about the Falcons before. That's Russell Gage. Russell Gage still finishes as a wide receiver 3, barely, mostly wide receiver 4, especially for you that don't like half and full point PPR. So he's only a wide receiver 4 for you. Russell Gage is barely inside the top 50 wide receivers getting 110 targets. That's Amon-Ra St. Brown's ceiling. That's the problem.
No, because Russell Gage had Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the other
side.
He
had Julio Jones for 9 games. He had 110 targets from Matt Ryan. 110 targets is all that matters.
Yes, but at the same time, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown has higher potential because he could actually get inside the end zone. Because it's not like they have a Julio Jones or who's their tight end? I don't remember his name all of a sudden. Hurts.
Throw it to 4 touchdowns last year. You're going to put the way over on St. Brown at 4?
Yeah, I think he gets more than 4. Yes, I support Jared Goff.
I see. You're shaking your head. Jump in on this nonsense.
Come on. I'm a big believer in Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think, rightly so, he's going to have to get past people in the depth chart, but I think he has the ability. I really liked his tape. I thought he was a pro receiver playing against college students. He was doing things that you see seasoned pros do, and he was doing things you see a lot of pros not do, things like stealing routes against when he was matched up. I think he's going to fit nicely in the slot. Yes, Cephas is probably the first hill to get past because kind of a big, slow slot guy. That's kind of his MO as well. But then, like, Breshad Perriman's kind of only had 1 year of production. Who's it? Tyrell Williams, on and off with injury. I think there's a path to work there. And if he can claim that role, then he will be that number one receiver, I think. And you can't say that about too many guys who are going outside the first round this year.
No, I mean, but I would put Chase, Waddle, Smith, and assuming what happens with Jameson Crowder, it's going to happen. Jameson Crowder's getting let go because after the June 1st cut, they can save over $10 million. So he's gone. I'd put Elijah Moore and probably, I mean, look, the Carolina Panthers had three receivers inside the top 30 last year. So I'd put Marshall, those five definitively, and then we'll start talking about St. Brown with Bateman and Rondell Moore.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think Amon Ra, he landed in probably one of the best case scenarios for
him. Sure, but that's the only reason he's even in that conversation.
Exactly.
He's limited. And what he does, so, you know, I say this all the time, like, just because you're limited doesn't mean you're not good. Randall Cobb is a good example that I always use. Randall Cobb is limited. We saw when he was attempted to be the number one wide receiver. Not every receiver can be an NFL number one wide receiver. Randall Cobb does what he does and he does it great. Don't ask him to do more. St. Brown does what he does and he does it great. Just don't ask him to do more. I think the problem with what you're saying, I don't necessarily disagree with either one of you that he becomes the number one. And I think he's better than the name I'm about to say, but I'm going to draw the comparison for the argument's sake. I'm a Travis Fulgham guy, but I was also the first to say, get off of Travis Fulgham as soon as defenses start treating him as the number one. If St. Brown gets treated as the number one, he's going to struggle. That's my concern too.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now, who's in the division with the Lions? The Packers, right?
Secondary is ridiculous.
Yeah, aside Jair Alexander, yeah, their secondary is good. And now I'm drawing a blank. The Vikings.
Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
The Vikings are exploitable.
Yeah. The Bears, they still got a good front. Secondaries could be.
What he does average. Have in his favor is the Lions are going to be playing from behind. He's going to see targets and theoretically he's going to be that third option on the team. I'm still very much on 2 Kayla Swift being their number one guy and Hockenson
being the number two.
Hockenson being the number two. So there is scope there. You're right. St. Brown doesn't have the same ceiling as some of the others, or as Nada might say, the same ceiling. But
not bad. I like that one. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he was a low ceiling guy coming in as well. I think his absolute peak might be Robert Woods, but you're right. He's limited. You ask him to do what he can do, he's going to do that well. We saw what Woods could do with Goff, and we'll probably see how much that was a product of McVay and how much that was a product of Goff. So, probably more the former than the latter, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not off of him. I'm just trying to tell you to pump your brakes a little bit, especially, you're non-PPR, so.
Hey, never disrespect the non-PPR guys out there. They know what they're doing.
I still do the rankings for them. I stopped playing fantasy football in the 1990s about 20 years ago.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, hey, we're the guys that entered the salty spittoon. You're still waiting on you might have to go to Weedy Hunt Jr. I don't know about that one. All right. So give me another game. Come on, Jake. Come on.
Another
somebody
one?
Somebody with a potentially pronounceable name. One more each. And then
I gave you. Do you want Elijah Moore or Terrace Marshall? Which one do you want? Both of them are, they're off the top of the top group, but they're both in great situations that some people are assuming that might not be. Like Denzel Mims could definitely take a breakout season with Zach Wilson this year. But Denzel Mims I think he's peak Will Fuller. Like he's going to have limitations. He's not a complete wide receiver. And that's, again, Will Fuller's not a bad thing, but Will Fuller has his own limitations. Elijah Moore, when James Crowder is gone, should step in as the number. He should be the number two. Like I'm looking at that depth chart. Going back to Terrace Marshall, I mean, you're talking about a team that is doing everything they can to make Sam Darnold succeed, which by the way, if they do, just forget, skip right past rule. Just put Joe Brady in the Hall of Fame if he makes Sam Darnold into a top 10 quarterback. Like just skip all, like he deserves it. But then the best scene said is like, we just saw Teddy turn three Carolina receivers to top 30 receivers, all three of them. And you're bringing in Terrace Marshall to essentially, he's stepping in as the new three. And that should be even not top 30, top 40.
Now, Elijah Moore, I like Elijah Moore. I think we should deep him a little bit more, deep dive him a little bit more, because, I mean, you say he's sure, a deep threat. Yeah, I know. I like that one, huh?
You just didn't want to find out that you were misspelling Terrace Marshall and sparing it Terrence, didn't you? Is that, that was the thing?
I'm not going to talk about that. you may or may not have been dead on there, but all right. Elijah Moore. So you say he's a speedster, right?
Yeah, he's a complex individual and a complex wide receiver. He's a guy that I didn't like, and as I got deeper into the process, he grew on me. First up, I looked at him and I was like, this guy has all the tools and a terrible attitude. I think we talked about it on a recent episode. I comped him to Lionel Messi in that he just had sublime skills but was not interested unless the ball was anywhere near him. You see that he doesn't try. If he knows he's not in the play, he wasn't trying. He doesn't block. I think he might be a low-key dickhead, but he has just got phenomenal talent. And I'll tell you, if we're talking about Celia Ings, his is AB, Antonio Brown. What set Antonio Brown apart is his absolutely manic work ethic. That's why Brady loves him. That's why he went from bottom of the depth chart to potentially the best wide receiver we've seen since Randy Moss. And Moore has that kind of talent. In fact, he probably has more talent. And if he has an ounce of the work ethic that AB has, then he is potentially the best wide receiver in this class. I don't love the landing spot, but he's going to have Mike LaFleur calling plays, and he needed someone who's going to use him to the best of his abilities. I don't know if either of you guys ever played NFL Head Coach 09. There was a guy in that game. It was a procedurally generated – well, I say procedurally generated. It was like a football manager-style game. You did everything but play the game. So you signed players, drafted, all that sort of rubbish. And there was a guy who would come up in the draft. It was all random, but they were all the same storylines, called the gimmick. And I think that's what we have here in Elijah Moore. Use him on fly sweeps, use him on screens, use him on – just get the ball in his hands, and we're going to see potentially the most exciting receiver in this class. I didn't realize I was this keen on him until I got in a role.
No, it's funny. I like him. I don't like him that much. Not quite as much as you said. I would say the big three, Chase, Waddle, and Smith. I would go Marshall if he gets this crap together. Again, he needs to care. He needs to, it's the Marquise Lee disease. Hopefully it doesn't take him 3 years to, you know, try hard. It's very funny is Moore and Marshall have the same issues, like actually caring to give 100%. I think he kind of falls into the Tony range, right behind Moore and probably Bateman for me, but I he's up near the top. He's definitely inside my top 10. Because I do like him, and I was the one that brought him up for the fact of replacing Jamison Crowder. I'll just point out my concerns. The one thing is he does run good routes, but if you watched him, there's two things that worry me. His stride is long, which makes some of his breaks slow and telegraphs some of his breaks. NFL level corners are going to eat that up and be all over top of him. So that's a concern. Now, of course, that's easy to clean up, especially if he already runs routes well. That's easy to clean up. The one other thing is you see this, you talk about giving the 100%. This is immediately what made me think of it is he gets scared by big guys. You see him like hesitate, especially. And if you're him as a slot receiver and you get scared going over the middle, especially like not even just speedy linebackers, but if that safety's dropping down, you kind of see him like look out of the side of his eye. Like, again, I'd rather be able to like coach that up and coach that at us. Like, I'd rather coach Terrace Marshall than to coach, say, Sherratt, who can't separate because he runs like doo-doo. Like, I'd rather be able to coach that out of somebody. So that's, I do like him, but I just wanted to, because you just, you know, glowingly whenever why he's so good, just point out the only concerns he might have. And those are the only concerns. I mean, we're kind of, especially when we're talking about top 7-8 wide receivers, we're being a little bit nitpicky.
Yeah. I don't know. You say he's afraid of big guys. Well, I mean, they're big guys. It's like,
no,
it's
but
not to
look,
be afraid.
Look at Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley is Elijah Moore without fear. Like, he doesn't care. He is going to get lit up, but he will catch the ball every time.
Like Wes Welker?
Wes Welker did it for a very long time. Yeah, and he ended his career because of that. Yeah.
No, he ended his career because he couldn't catch a Super Bowl pass.
No, but I meant like he ended his career because he took too many hits. Like sometimes you got to be Marvin Harrison. I'm not saying to take every single one of them, but sometimes you come off the route. I mean, there's probably a pick or two that shouldn't have been picks because of Moore.
Yeah. So I do like his landing spot. You guys said your question about the landing spot. I like his landing spot. I think when you see a new regime. Oh, you like Elijah Moore's landing spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I just stopped listening because I was still trying to figure out how to pronounce his name.
You seem to keep doing that.
Hey, I'm telling you, like a goldfish.
This is my life, man. Every week I'm just sitting here talking to myself. It's like, I agree. And then we move on to the next point. Oh, cool.
There you go. Like a goldfish, baby. Like a goldfish. All right. So Sheehan, one more and then we'll call it a day.
Well, I'm going to go off piece a little bit here. Okay. Terrace Marshall, I liked your thinking on Terrace Marshall, and a bit like Gallup moving on from the Cowboys, I don't think they're going to re-sign Robbie Anderson after this season. I think Marshall's going to be the number two guy there anyway. So he's one, again, get stash, and he can learn his craft behind someone else. But I think we should go some speed round through some of these day two and day three receivers. These round two and three receivers, and get some real pen profiles here from Jake. Cause I've got thoughts. I won't jump in with them unless we get to a couple of my men here, but let's hit on some of these names that you probably haven't heard too much of. So what do you reckon, Nada?
Fine.
Yeah, go on. Right. So we've talked about Elijah Moore. Anything for Javonte Williams?
Oh, yeah. He's middle of the season. He pushes Melvin Gordon aside.
Nice. Rondale Moore.
We're talking about him next year. Top 30 upside, but 2022.
Pat Freiermuth.
Talk to me in 2023 as a actually, I'll say 2022, a tight end one. 2023, we could be talking about him in that second tier of tight ends.
Nah, yes. with the name of Pat Freiermuth, nah, he's not going anywhere.
Dwayne Eskridge.
No interest. And not until Tyra Lockett's gone. Do you know what the number three target leader was for the team? 47 targets. I don't care about the Seahawks number three, whoever it is.
Yeah, I also think Eskridge isn't much of a player. Tutu Atwell.
What? Tavon Austin.
Yeah, good call.
I like Atwell.
So he's bad.
That size, like, we can talk about it all day long. When you're 160 pounds, you're going to be limited. Like, that's just, you have to be.
He's the towel boy from the water boy when he gets absolutely cleaned up when the team puts him in at receiver and he ends up, I think he snaps in half. Like, he's 140 pounds soaking wet. Like,
He'll be in the return game. They'll find ways to get him involved, but it's, you know, you're hoping for that 400 season from Tavon Austin to get you to 800 total yards.
That doesn't sound very fantasy relevant.
No, he's more of a real life help just to be dangerous on the field than anything.
Okay. All right. So,
but he can learn from DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson's not that much bigger than Tutu Atwell.
Yeah, but DeSean Jackson's got that little swagger. You know, he's got that little punt return skill.
He learns from him.
You can't learn swagger. You either have it or you don't.
Have we got next? Oh, Josh Palmer, one of my favorites.
I don't like the name.
I thought, I was surprised. I thought it was a little bit of a reach. So we're differing on this one. My biggest issue is doesn't get much space and loses 50-50 balls. But, I'm going to draw a parallel to, you brought up Metcalf before. If they use Palmer, he's not Metcalf. Let's be clear for everybody that gets confused here. I would say if you use Palmer in the right way, I could see him being the replacement for Mike Williams next year. Because why I brought up Metcalf is because the Seahawks didn't ask Metcalf to run curls and run in routes and stuff. Because that's not who he is and that's not how he should be used. If you ask Palmer to not try to win 50-50 balls and post up the corners and go for the, then I think he could be their number two.
Fun fact, DK Metcalf has scored a touchdown running a curl route and an in route and a slant route for that matter. But all right, keep going.
Just because nobody can tackle him.
Just can't win a 100-meter sprint.
That's what he did though.
I like Palmer. I'm with you. I was surprised he went in the third. I thought he was like fifth round at earliest, but I think he's a good all round receiver. But like I say, he is limited. So if they know what they're going to do with him, I think that's a good pick. Another of my ironic favorites, my least favorite player in this entire draft, Dyami Brown. What do you reckon?
Will Fuller for a ceiling. I think, Nate Washington floor, you might get six games where he ended up putting up 80 yards on like two or three catches, but that has value in Nader's leagues.
I think his floor is that fan controlled league that Johnny Football plays in. He can't catch. He's not fast. We talk about Moore not wanting to get his bell rung. Like, Dyami Brown is afraid of his own footsteps. Like, he sleeps with a nightlight on.
Yeah. Hey, I sleep.
Tim Patrick's probably better. Like, that's kind of in between the floor and the ceiling. Wide receiver four or five, which I think he has a better ceiling than that, but Tim Patrick.
I don't mind the landing spot, don't like the player.
This might be a hot take, but I think speedsters or speedy receivers, consistently or deep threats are limited to the quarterback. If they don't throw the deep ball or they don't throw a deep ball.
Oh, he's got Fitzpatrick.
for maybe a year, half a year. We don't know how that's going to go.
A year.
a year, especially
in Dynasty. They're not turning the backups at this point. Hey, Tyler Heineke's there, and I love Heineke because he's from ODU, but
I don't like the beer. No, the beer is kind of like piss water. Honestly.
And you can't spell Heineke anyway, so
I couldn't. So point proven. There you go. Tyler you can't H. spell it, then he's probably not that good.
Cool. Two tight ends here. Hunter Long and Tommy Tremble. Which one do you like more?
Tremble.
Yeah, he's
Tremble.
A beast.
Tremble, people don't realize how good he was because of two reasons. One, partly because of Ian Book's play. And then two, Tremble is actually the complete opposite of Elijah Moore and Terrace Marshall. He gives too much. Like, he outruns himself. If that makes sense. If people have watched football and know what I'm trying to say, he outruns himself. He puts himself out of position. He sometimes trips himself. Remember Daniel Jones tripping over himself on that run last year? That's like Tommy Tremble. Just, you need to rein him in. You don't have to give 100% on every single step of your motion, dude.
Yeah, I really like the landing spot as well. I know exactly what you mean. He just gives it all. And I think we haven't seen the best of him yet. He's been the number two for most of his college career. I think he's going to be a bona fide O1, or at least has the potential to be one of those elite tight ends, I think. Amari Rodgers, you talked about him as a slot guy.
Yeah, and then I actually think he could be the second best option ahead of Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling if Aaron Rodgers is back. That's the big question.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to be back?
I think so. I've been on the draft Davante Adams everywhere campaign for this entire time, and I think at the Aaron Rodgers, it's one of those things that cooler heads prevail. Not to use the cliche, but I think that's what we're headed for.
Now, Amari Rodgers is kind of like on the Amon-Ra St. Brown, where I think they both have the two coolest names in the draft. Therefore, they're always going to be successes.
Better than Josh Emmitt-Trabibi? I mean,
yes. Well,
he's got Bebe in his last name.
That's the issue.
I am going to get a Jaguars jersey when, as soon as he announces his number, it's just going to say Bebe on the back.
Well, it's much better than your currently wearing shirt of no kickers.
Ban kickers. Get it right.
We don't ban kickers. The kickers, they are celebrated. Or else you're going to get a double doink.
You're the only person. We're finishing this out. We're not talking about kickers because there's none here. They're irrelevant.
Yeah, move on. Run the show properly, Nada. Collins.
It just all hinges on Deshaun Watson. I think he'd be a wide receiver 4 even as a rookie. It just depends, obviously, in Deshaun Watson.
Who's the quarterback?
I mean, that's the problem, is who the quarterback is.
If Deshaun Watson's a quarterback, maybe he's a wide receiver 4. If he's not the quarterback, he is what?
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Not Anthony for the long term. It's Cleveland's. This is like Seattle. I don't care about the third wide receiver. I don't care if it's Higgins. I don't care if it's Peoples-Jones. I don't care if it's Schwartz. And Schwartz is kind of a slot guy too. It's terrific speed, and they'll probably give him some sweeps out of the backfield. It's just the problem with Cleveland is, you know, one week it's going to be Higgins, one week it's going to be Peoples-Jones, and one week it'll be Schwartz. And no, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and then, I mean, however the tight end situation shakes out as of right now.
Kareem Hunt. I think Schwartz is going to be the next Cordarrelle Patterson, in that he's going to bounce around, be a weapon on special teams, and everywhere he goes, going to be this is the offensive coordinator who unlocks him. That speed is phenomenal, but he's going to be a weapon on special teams. But
he probably has the coolest last name of the Schwartz.
To pronounce. I tell you what, if you like Anthony Schwartz, you're going to love Josh Funk. We probably won't get to him. Trey McKitty, I was telling Nada before, he lined up backwards on a play. That was exciting.
Hey, he could be their starting tight end in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly farewell to all those Donald Parham believers.
McKitty just feels like that all around. He's fine. Like Jack Doyle. Like, yeah, he might be relevant for a couple of years, but he's replaceable.
Yeah. Well, we're getting close to the hour here, Nada. Is there anyone else we want to hit on in this back half that we haven't talked about?
No. That kind of wraps it all. Everybody else, their names just are not
going. I thought you were going to bring up Kenny Nwangu. I was going to see if he knew how to spell him, because he would probably get his first name wrong too.
No, if I cannot pronounce his name, there's a reason why we haven't talked about it. It's because I cannot start off the conversation. There's a difference.
First name is
Kenny Nwangu then.
Kenny Nwangu.
No, just big and fast. He's a threat to Alexander Mattison. Oh, I'll put it that way.
Yeah,
is that even a threat? It's like,
is that a threat?
You're gonna be
the backup to Dalvin Cook, who essentially misses at least a game or two, if not three or four. Like, I mean, a backup running back is a backup running back. I have plenty of Chuba Hubbard already. Chuba Hubbard. I always want to say Chuba Hubbard. because he's the backup to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but
yeah,
we've seen, well, I mean, he has to be exponentially better. That's, yeah, that was a big word for you right there, right?
Better than what?
You almost nailed it as well.
Yeah, I almost said it right.
Exponentially better than what?
Than Alexander Mattison, because every single time Alexander Mattison was the RB1, he was a complete dud.
And no, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't have to be exponentially. He just needs to be better.
Exactly. Well, no, he needs to be exponentially better.
No, and that's why. But Hubbard more so than anything. I would do Hubbard before Nwangu every single time.
What about Tony
Pollard?
I would
do Stevenson.
Would you rather have like a, say you're in a redraft league, would you have like a Tony Pollard or one of their backups?
Pollard would be one of the top five.
Top five?
If we're talking backups here, and particularly backups out of this draft, Larry Rountree the third.
Yeah.
I think there's opportunity there behind Eckler. I don't think Kelly or
Justin Jackson. Here's what you have to remember. I'd rather take a flyer on Chris Evans because the Bengals got rid of Giovanni Bernard and essentially did nothing else. It's just Samaje Perine back there. And Samaje Perine is kind of like Savon Ahmed, is that, you know, okay, they showed up a little bit for the first time ever. Like, you know, what are we doing here? Evans is good all around. Rountree, I wasn't a big Rountree fan, and if Eckler goes down, again, they just invested in Kelly last year, and Rountree was only a round six pick. You have to remember with running backs too, and I'm not saying that they can't show out, but once you get to round five plus, and I know Chris Evans was a round six as well, so I'm saying that I'm not even 100% sold on Evans. Once you get to round five, basically day three, because even the fourth round at times, but especially fifth round and plus, it's very rare that running backs have much of an impact once you hit the fifth round and later.
Fair
enough. And especially if he has the word three in his name, he can't be that good. I mean, he's destined to be third on the depth chart. I'm going somewhere else.
He's the return of the Jedi of his family.
That was a good movie. Sorry. I'm going to have to disagree there.
The Revenge of the Sith of his family.
No, that's a phenomenal movie.
Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, that was the best Star Wars movie. That was the best Star Wars movie.
Somebody who likes kickers would make that the best Star Wars movie ever.
There was a lot of kicking for a Star Wars movie.
Yes, that's all you need to know. That puts the epitome on every single take you've ever had.
There's a bunch of legendary lines. We were talking about it before because we were waiting for you because you took so damn long. We were talking about Obi-Wan's hello there and how signature that was. There's no signature in Revenge of the Sith or the sequels. We don't even talk about the sequels. Those never existed.
Yeah. The sequels are the standard leagues.
Found out exactly why your takes are terrible.
Alrighty. We are now officially past the hour mark, and that's where I'm going to have to say no, guys. All right. This is the challenge flag. I tried throwing it earlier. You guys kind of declined me on that one. I was a little bit messed up and a little disrespect to my authority, but here is where I throw the challenge flag, and we're going to have to sign off. So, Jake, let everybody know where they can find you.
Just at AllInKid, because I tweet everything out for The Athletic there that I do. That's the easiest way. I always say that's the easiest way because that's the easiest way. Because then I'm on all these random podcasts with people who say stuff like Revenge of the Sith and kickers matter. So there you go.
Revenge of the Sith was the most action. Like I don't get people's head on that one. What's the issue with that movie?
They have good taste.
I don't get it. All right, Sheehan, let everybody know.
As always, listeners, I am at Sheehan Solo on Twitter. I am the managing editor over at SleeperWire. So come over, check out the awesome content we have going up. We have lots of IDP content, and that's why we're doing it next week. If you like Natter struggling through the offensive names, well, then you're going to love some of these doozies in this IDP rookie draft. Names like Efetu Melifonwu. It's going to be a fun time, if nothing else, just to hear that. So tune in for that. I have a question for Jake just before we go. Jake, you've got a bunch of Funko Pops behind you there. Which one's your favorite?
Which one's my favorite? I'm trying to look behind me to see. I would say, I mean, anything Darkwing Duck's top five. There's no question about that.
Never heard of her.
Huh? Man, when there's trouble, you call DW.
I'm not even talking. This is the dumbest person I've ever talked to in my life. I don't even want to finish. I'm not even talking to you. Drop off, Nader. I'll tell Sheehan the rest of the stuff.
That's awesome.
That's definitely top five. That notorious B.I.G. back there.
You heard of him, Nader?
No, I've never heard
Deadpool,
of her.
Deadpool is as Bob Ross. There you go. This is always a great one. Deadpool is Bob Ross.
No, that's not
that
bad.
Is a good one.
I like that one. Okay, I can go with it.
I wasn't talking to you anymore.
My bad. I, of course, make sure to rate this show. Of course, you can follow us at Twitter on Sleeper Wire Show when other shorts, tweeting news, or other come out. Other than that, good luck, everybody.